Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here live at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, today is one of those topics that, again, is one of those things that people want to hear about, but yet a lot of times individuals really don't know how to even engage in such a conversation. So before we even get started with the show, I want to first give honor where honor is due. I want to thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning and for blessing me. And I want to make sure that we also stay prayerful in regards to what is going on in our homes, in our families, and in the world today. Now, without further ado, I want to get started with the topic, and I'm waiting on my callers to start calling in and those that are going to be joining me here as we discuss this topic, which is rebuilding trust. Now, when it comes to just the word trust, a lot of times individuals, they have they become very conflicted in regards to what does it mean to trust someone. And when I was putting this together, which my intern Amy was the one that wanted to put this topic, and she just called in, so I'm going to log on in a minute. But when it comes to trust, many individuals have lived long enough to have either been through something where their trust in someone or something has been broken or challenges. Now, such can leave scars, doubt, and problems with moving forward in other relationships or even as far as other life endeavors. Now, my question is, what is trust? I've heard individuals say that I only trust God or I only trust my mama. Now, a lot of times when individuals say that, I also learned in my days of being on this earth that when individuals say that, that's just a figure of speech. Because what about trusting oneself? Now, there are also individuals that have been in relationships or business deals where trust was broken. And many have had situations where they've been betrayed by individuals close to them, including their parents or other family members. And like I said earlier, let's not forget about our government, because that's another trust issue. So I want you, if you have something you want to talk about or something you want to share, you can join the callers and my special guests, as well as myself, as we talk about this topic. Because one must figure out, first of all, rebuilding trust. It requires work. Is it possible? Is it even worth it? So let me log on one of the persons that's already on the air with me so we can start dabbing into this topic. Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? This is Amy.
Thank you, Amy, for calling in. I just got in touch with Amalia. She said she didn't know she was invited. So I told Amalia, you always invited. So she was like,
she didn't know that.
I know. We'd be needing some dialogue and some conversations when we talk about these topics. Now, talking about rebuilding trust, when I didn't know what else to talk about, I said, okay, Amy, we need a topic for next week. And you threw that out there. What was your purpose for that? Or what is this about?
I think that my friends I do have have been in situations where their significant other does something that breaks that trust, and they find it really hard to rebuild that foundation, or even if they should trust them again, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
Fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. So I think that when you ask for a topic, I know this would reach all ages for a number of different reasons.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's interesting, Amy, because not only when you're talking about even in a relationship, when you're talking about even within your family, I have, you know, kids that are teenagers dealing with trusting their parents, because, like, where do you learn and when do you learn to first start trusting individuals? And a lot of times, even in a relationship, that makes it even more complicated because individuals struggle with, I started to play the catch-up song, I'm sorry, because a lot of times individuals would just say, I'm sorry, like it's going to automatically mean, okay, trust me again. And that's not always the case when we're talking about trust. Because, like you said, many individuals do struggle with that, and some individuals may not even be trustworthy. You know, it's funny when you're talking about a friend. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know what, I ain't got no friends. Or I always throw that out there to people in people's face. I'm like, that's why you ain't got no friends. You know, and sometimes individuals become very paranoid when it comes to trusting others, especially if they feel that they've been burnt, if they've been betrayed, if they've been let down, if they've been abandoned. So now just trust, just by definition as a noun, it means a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability or strength or of someone or something. Now, what happens is when individuals, say, for an example, that trust is broken, individuals can become unsure about things. They can become, they can have doubt. They can have fear. And it can, like you said, it can impact a relationship. So we're going to be giving the listeners some information in regards to tips and tools on what to do if you really even want to rebuild that trust with another individual again, or how do you even know if the trust has been broken? Because sometimes individuals, it's like if you tell your friend something and your friend go back and tell somebody else and you feel like, how dare you break my confidence? And a lot of that also has a lot to do with trust. Now, Amy, you are in the field of therapy also, and you're in a master's program in regards to the School of Social Work. Now, being a and going in this field, and like you said, you have a lot of friends that are dealing with some relationship issues. When they come to you, what is normally your response? How do you handle that?
I tend to, from learning from this field, I've learned that you just need to listen. You can give your opinion, but that needs to be known that it's your opinion. A lot of times, mm-hmm. we're protective of our friends, and we tend to persuade them, and basically, it's over, it's done, you can never trust him again, he should never hurt you like that, but nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. We all make mistakes.
Correct.
And if we want to be forgiven sometime in our future, it's important that we forgive as well,
mm-hmm.
because we're not perfect either.
Wow. And you know what? And a lot of times when we talk about trust, a lot of individuals don't even know what it means. Now, I have some information, and I want to share this because it talks about the five levels of trust. And at the bottom, it has shared values, integrity, and concerns for others, competence, and accountability. Now, that's just to name a few when we talk about trust. Because when a child first learns to trust, it's their parents that they learn to trust first. Meaning, my mom's going to be here, my father's going to be here, they're going to feed me, they're going to clothe me, they're going to change me, they're going to protect me. And when those things are not happening, individuals, it can cause a lot of problems, even when they're dealing with the world, even when they're dealing with themselves. Now, I'm also looking at a quote, and it says, I need to be able to trust myself, or I would never allow myself to enter into a committed relationship again. And a lot of times when we start talking about these relationships, that's where a lot of individuals run into issues. I found something that says, what is trust? Comes the definition. The insurance reliance on the character, ability, strength or truth of someone or something, or one in which confidence is placed. Now, when we talk about trust, and as I was getting the information for this show together, Amy, I thought about also character. In regards to a person being trustworthy or knowing a person's character, I found when you talk to women or you talk to men, if a woman tells a man, I don't trust you, they think that means with everything. They don't know that it may be, okay, I know you're a cheater, or I know you spend money, or I know you do gamble, or I know you do this. Sometimes we have to be more specific in letting people know what it is we don't trust them with or where their struggles are. Now, when a woman is normally told that they're not being trusted, they normally can identify in what areas. See, my thing is don't trust me with no food. Because I'm going to eat it, or if I want to go somewhere or, which, my favorite place is, those are things that I'm going to have an issue with. So what do you think in regards to that as far as being able to identify what it is I can and cannot trust you with?
I think that you hit it right on the spot. I think when men tend to, you know, assume that it's everything that we don't trust, but we also mm-hmm. forget to communicate and make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just say, "I don't trust you." We don't say, "Why?" or "I'm mad." Well, why are you mad?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think that gets lost because, you know, we've always talked about expectations. Girls have these expectations that we get, often get let down with, and we don't expect them anymore.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And it's very hard for sometimes people to bounce back. I found something else that's very interesting. It talks about trust. And when it goes into trust, it talks about credibility, reliability, caring, transparency, and respect. Now, sometimes we know individuals, I mean, people are who they are. And that doesn't mean that a person cannot change, because they can, but they have to want to change. Because if they don't want to change, there is nothing you can do about it. And all you will, a person will do is just get themselves hurt over and over and over again. And sometimes we look at trust as also with loyalty, meaning are you loyal, are you faithful, are you committed? Now, I had mentioned something, and when I put it on, and I put it out there for the Facebook individuals, and I was talking about our government, because many right now, many individuals are dealing with whether they can even trust our leaders. And I found some information, and it talks about 7 reasons people don't trust their leaders. 1, the leader can lack courage. There can be a hidden agenda. They can be self-centered. There may be reputation issues. Inconsistent behavior, and don't get their hands dirty, meaning that they put it off on somebody else, or they lack purpose. Now, I found this information to be very interesting, because this can also not only have something to do with individuals in regards to our leadership, but also in relationships. Because do you know that there are some people that don't even trust their children? Because when you start talking about your children, I don't know if you heard on the news, Amy, the other day, there was a guy, and I think he was from Louisiana, and he killed his girlfriend, his girlfriend's father, her brother, and then turned around and killed his parents, and then went on the run. And I'm like, wow. You know, and most people would think, okay, you're not going to kill your parents. But parents can't even trust that. Any comments in regards to that or some of the information that I just shared?
Yeah. Sorry, my phone was on mute. I read about that, and that was, you would never think that somebody could go and kill their parents or their children or anything, or their wife, you know, they're someone they love. But it's anger. It's just so much built up anger, and they just take it out. And that trust is burned at some point, and they never forgave themselves or forgave, you know, the offender that burned that
mm-hmm.
bridge.
Yeah, but then, but by that same token, just because you don't trust the person doesn't mean that you have to hurt the person. You know, because I want to transition a little bit into what they call trust issues. Because a lot of times when we talk about trust issues, we know that love is about trust. A lot of times individuals will say, "I'm sorry." Or people will say, "I don't have trust issues, I just know better." And a lot of times individuals will hold on to certain things. And, you know, jealousy is about trust issues. Sometimes that lack of communication can lead to different, you know, trust issues. But we have to also learn how to forgive. And we also have to always say, is a person willing? Are they able? And are they ready? Because a lot of times we talk about these issues. I used to tell people in therapy, "I don't have no tissues for your issues." Because sometimes these issues are these burdens and this heavy load that many individuals carry. And trust is a big one.
That's like when you, you know, somebody was dishonest or disloyal in a previous relationship and you carry it into your new relationship. Well, this person is not that person. They're two
mm-hmm.
different people. And we tend, like, we hold on to that, and we think that that's going to happen again and again. And just because one
mm-hmm.
person was dishonest and disloyal doesn't make it the next person or every person in your life is that way.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I mean, I think a lot of it is more fear. It's very much fear-written, our base, because individuals become, they get to the point to where they don't trust themselves, especially when we talk about relationships. Now, you know, you and I both, we work with individuals that are in the Batters Intervention Program, to where they have relationship issues, to where the abuse could be either verbal, emotional, psychological, sexual, and just to name a few. Now, when we start talking about even just the physical abuse, and individuals are, you know, hitting, kicking, and spitting, and, you know, destruction of property, a lot of that is, first of all, it's uncalled for. But secondly, it makes individuals have doubt in regards to the relationship, because that's unhealthy. But then when we look at that from another perspective, also lying can also lead and, you know, have a lot to do with trust issues too, because it's like, why do an individual feel the need to have to lie to their partner, knowing that that's going to cause a problem or lead to where that person, the trust is going to be broken?
I'm sorry, I'm having a brain issue right now.
it's okay.
It's Monday. To go off what you said, though, I was thinking that we tend to, when somebody is disloyal to us, we tend to blame ourselves, like we weren't enough,
mm-hmm.
and we start to feel guilty within. But realistically, if that person is sincere and they made a mistake and they are compassionate in their apology and they want to rebuild the trust, it's not just there again. It's something that takes time. We have to realize that we did nothing wrong, or it's them, and we don't need to feel guilty because they feel guilty enough if they are sincere.
Correct. And you know what? And you just said something that's really interesting, is when you said sincere, and when individuals, when you talked about a mistake. Now, I just want to throw something out there, because, you know, there's an age difference between you and I. And what is the difference, in your opinion, and it's, like I said, this is your opinion, it can be based on your experience, between a mistake and something that someone did on purpose, when we're talking about a relationship?
My opinion is that a mistake is something that happens and is discussed, and that person is actively trying to be better. It doesn't make them perfect, but they're actively trying to make it better. Something that someone did that was wrong is when they continuously do it, even though I've already told them how it made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
So
now
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm gonna throw some things out there, because I'm waiting on some individuals to call in, because one of the biggest issues that we talk about, or I hear, even in rebuilding the trust, if we're gonna start relationships, is infidelity. That's one. So is that a mistake, or did this person just know? It's like, oh, some, I've heard people say, oh, it just happened. How do these things just happen?
I do not think infidelity is just a mistake. I think there's something that is in the relationship that person is lacking. It doesn't justify it, but there's something missing in that relationship. And I think, I believe it can be worked out if both parties are willing to do that, and it's going to take time and communication and even maybe a third-party mediator.
Mm-hmm.
But if it continuously happens, it's just not meant to be.
Gotcha.
And that obviously means neither party is working towards, you know, maybe one's working more than the other, but it takes two to tango.
Correct. You know, I want to bring up something that I saw on Facebook, and I was looking at it, and someone had posed a question, and the question read, if your significant other cheated on you and had a baby by someone else, and the woman died, would you help him take care of the baby? And it was interesting, because basically you got infidelity again in that relationship. Person went out and cheated. Person got the person pregnant. And now the mother of the child is deceased, but he stuck with that baby. but that's your man or that's your boo. Would you help him? And I'm going to ask you that question. Would you help him, Amy? Would you help him raise that baby?
I couldn't give you a straight answer unless I was in that spot. But, I mean, it depends on what the relationship was like before. Was it good? Was that, like, a one-time mistake? Like, there's so many things, factors to it. And that child mm-hmm. still needs a parent. So even if it's, mm-hmm. like, encouraging him to do the right thing, like, I mean, that's just, I don't know. What would you do?
You know, and see, now that I'm more mature, that's a good question. It depends on the situation. It depends on our relationship. Because some individuals were saying no, because every time I saw the child, it would remind me of the affair. And then someone was saying, you know, that the child does, it's not the child's fault. And that is true. It's not the child's fault. And so that much I know. So you never want to take it out on a child. So it depends on the relationship. If I'm married to the person or if we were just dating, there's a lot of other factors that are also involved. And also, how does this guy feel in regards to knowing that he went out and, you know, conceived a child? And also, because like I said, because a lot of times, which next week's topic is going to be interesting, because we're going to be talking about the purpose of dating, because you got to know what kind of relationship you're in. Now, if it's my husband, then we got to deal with it. If it's somebody like a boyfriend, then I don't have to make that type of commitment because we're not married. Now, I know that I have been in that situation before, and I was willing to help him with the child, and so I didn't have a problem with it, but then he kept saying that it wasn't his child. So, you know, like I said, it depends on the situation, but I just wanted to throw that out there because when we start talking about trust, that is a big one. Now, someone's calling in. I don't know if this is Amalia, but let me log her on, if it is her.
It is me. I am, you
hello.
Know, as always.
Thank you for joining
us
here. Okay. You know what? Look, I've been in the parking lot of McDonald's, on the side of the road, parked at the beach. I've been all kind of places trying to do these shows. So trust and believe, I get it. So today, Amalia, we're talking about rebuilding trust. And when we talk about rebuilding trust, and we're going to get to giving the listeners some tips and tools or ways that they can work towards rebuilding the trust, but we're talking about some of the issues that most individuals have when it comes to trust issues. And especially in relationship, you know, we have infidelity. You know, sometimes you may have somebody that has stole your money or someone that has lied to you, you know, and you may have a situation where a parent, you know, have failed to either take care of the child or neglected the child. So there's a lot of issues out there. And, you know, we haven't even touched on the mere fact of forgiveness, which is how we break ourselves free in order to be able to move forward when it comes to these different things. But what do you want to add to this topic?
Well, I think when there is, I'm thinking of all the people that I know that have had cheating spouses, or even not even when it comes to relationships, but, you know, in our work relationships as well. There's also, I think we spend so much time with our coworkers, and sometimes there's trust that has to be rebuilt within them. And I think the very first step is that we kind of do this self-blaming, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, how could I have let this happen, or you know, you believed that whatever it was that they said. So I think that's
mm-hmm.
I think that's the very first step is allowing ourselves to realize that we were a victim
mm-hmm.
to start feeling that way. Because if we
mm-hmm.
don't heal ourselves when it comes to rebuilding trust, then we are going to just have a lot of resentment towards that other person. So we have
mm-hmm.
to work on, we really have to work on allowing ourselves to allow that the trust to be rebuilt and trusting
mm-hmm.
that we are okay in whatever that outcome comes of this rebuilt relationship.
Correct. Because the bottom line is, if you hold on to it, it can hurt you
mm-hmm.
more than it will hurt the other person. Because I remember it's been a while, probably over 10 years, and probably longer than that. I remember being in a relationship, and it was, I thought, a healthy relationship. And the whole time, I didn't even know that the guy was a bigamist. And it was interesting because he never said he was married. Family never said he was married. No one ever said anything. It was a big old secret. He wanted to get married. It wasn't like I said, marry me. He was the one that wanted to get married because he was trying to be this perfect guy. And found out 3 months after being married, he had a wife of 12 years. And I laughed. It was funny to me because I was like, how the hell did I miss that? Because first I wasn't looking for it. Girl, I wasn't looking for it, you know. And, you know, and it was crazy because even being a therapist and knowing people, and it was crazy because, you know, we used to lay up in the bed at night and watch Cheaters. I don't know why. I guess the Holy Spirit kept saying, oh, hey, that you need to watch this show. We watched the Cheaters, and better I didn't even know Snap. I was with a cheater.
Better than watching Snap.
No, I didn't watch that. I was watching Cheaters, you know. But it was funny because he was like, well, if you don't divorce me, I'll pay your mortgage. Uh-uh. No, I am not going to live like that. But,
well,
you know.
Like sometimes they're so good. Because, you know, I had a friend that this guy, I mean, I was in his house, too. There was no signs of him having a wife at all.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he had a whole apartment, a car. He had a full setup. Did not see that coming. Such a nice guy, always available. I don't know how they do it.
And you know what? And it's funny because we're therapists and we laughing at it because we missed it. We was like, oops, he got me.
Yeah.
You know, but it happens. But it's funny because we were able to forgive. At least I know I was. I was able to forgive. I was able to move on. And as you know, it didn't stop me from getting married again because I did that again. So that wasn't an issue. So, and we'll do it again as soon as my Boaz come again. But by that same token, holding on to it don't help you. It hurts you because we do have to learn how to forgive.
Right, and I honestly think it's harder. I think it's easier to just walk away, get angry, walk away, cut all ties. I really do think that's a lot easier, and then deal with the emotional part aside. But to be living with someone and having this resentment and still making it work and forgive, I think that really is the harder of the two. Me
personally, well,
I've never had to go through it, but I've seen it in my, you know, I have friends who have had spouses that have had children on the side, and they've stayed. And I've seen them go through the struggle knowing what everyone else around them is saying, and can you believe it? And then he does it again. And so, and I've seen how the struggle it is to want to keep a family together and intact. And if that's the only issue, I mean, there's no domestic violence. Or, you know, I think everybody has their last straw. I've had very close friends go through it.
But the problem is, Amalia, what you're saying and what you're describing as a therapist, if I was in a session and that issue kept coming up, I would talk to the individual to find out if they have a sex addiction. Because that sounds like a whole nother issue, you know.
Right.
And a lot of times there are some underlying issues that individuals are not even aware of that's going on within a relationship. But, you know, one shouldn't take it personal and blame themselves because that's showing a person's character. That's just who that person is. And you have to know when to pick up the pieces and walk away. So we're going to start a little bit on relationship because that seems to be one of the biggest things in regards to moving past betrayal and how to rebuild trust in your marriage. Because we know that trust in an intimate relationship is rooted in feeling safer with another person. We know the infidelity, the lies, the broken promises can severely damage the trust between a husband and wife. And not only just a husband and wife, especially if there's children involved, because children are looking at that too. Now, although rebuilding trust can be challenging when there is a significant breach, it is in fact possible if both partners are committed to the process. Because one person can't do all the work and then the other person still want to throw it back up in their face because then that's not fair and it's not worth it. So one of the things is actually picking up the pieces. Even though it takes much time and effort to reestablish a sense of safety for you to need in regards to your marriage to thrive and continue to grow, you can recover from trauma that was caused by the break in trust when individuals, if you really, really want to. But you gotta want to. You know, I was talking to my last husband, and he always had this little start over thing. I ain't starting nothing over. You know, so the thing is, you cannot keep going on and on and on and on and on. Now, when we start talking about moving past that breach of trust, One of the things is knowing the details. But I want to say something about that, Amalia, with knowing the details. You don't need to know all the details. You really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not mature enough to be able to process it, something mm-hmm. is just none of your business. That's between that person and Jesus. So we got to be careful with the details, but releasing the anger. You have to learn to release the anger. You have to show a commitment. And when you start talking about rebuilding the trust, you got to start from scratch, because rebuilding the trust is also rebuilding that relationship, because you have to become a whole new you. Now, a lot of times when we're talking about the with the showing a commitment, I find that that's where a lot of individuals run into issues, because when you're talking about betrayal, a lot of times they question their commitment to the relationship, and they're wondering if the relationship is still right for them or even salvageable, because you don't want to throw stuff up in people's face. So when we start talking about acts of empathy, meaning sharing the pain, the frustration, and the anger, showing remorse and regret, and allowing space for the acknowledgement and validation of hurt feelings can be healing for both parties, because sometimes the other person just wants you to know that this really hurt me, but you can't punish the person. Ladies, what do you guys think about that? And I should have called my cousin to get him on this line with this so we can have a male perspective. But what do you think about that when you're talking about, we talk about we always want to punish a person because we want people to feel our pain?
Well, I think that's like drinking poison and wanting the other person to die. And now I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can hear me driving.
I can hear you driving.
But,
no problem.
I'll pull over at the next place. But I mean, like I said, it really has to, I think when you're going to a relationship and you're trying to rebuild the trust, you really have to look at how much you really want this and know, not walk into it blindly, that the other person might not be resentful, that the other person might be blaming you for their actions. And that's, I think, a lot of what happens in relationships is that you blame and you minimize
mm-hmm.
when things like this, when this is like a big issue, this is a huge issue. This is, you know, what breaks families up, and this is what your identity as a married person or as a person that's been in a long-term relationship, all of a sudden your identity is taken from underneath you. And that's
mm-hmm.
a lot of work and a lot of acceptance that has to happen. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of, I don't want to say ignorant, but you do have to go into a process like this knowing that the end result is never going to be or never going to fix what you had. So the relationship
mm-hmm.
may not go back to what it used to be, but I have seen relationships that were a lost cause. I mean, separated, living with other people, and then
mm-hmm.
there's been a reunification, and they've been able to overcome that, see
mm-hmm.
what it was in the relationship that, I guess, broke the camel's back, and be able to fix those things, open communication,
mm-hmm.
no longer, you know, sometimes it's finances. I've seen in the relationships where one person is hiding a huge secret from the other person, and that secret
mm-hmm.
is found out by you know, someone snooping and finding out, and I haven't lost hope in that relationships can rebuild as long as both people are willing to change, are willing to accept.
Correct.
And that there isn't, you know, physical violence or, there, you know, some things there is, it's a safety issue where you do need to separate.
Correct. Correct.
But
and you
I
know
think,
what? You brought up a valid point, Amalia, especially talking about a safety issue because, you know, some individuals will say, I'm throwing in a towel because this person cheated
right.
on me, but won't throw in the towel when the person that gave you a black eye. So it's like,
right.
come on now, you know, choose
right.
your poison. Or what is this really worth fighting? You know, you go stay there knowing he's beating you versus wanting to walk away just because he went out and got a blowjob or, you know, you caught him kissing the secretary or, you know, something like that. Now, when we start talking about even in a relationship, and like I said, both parties must work to define what is required to stay committed to making a relationship work. In communicating this, you have to avoid using words that can trigger a conflict, because a lot of times we start using words like, you always do this, you must do this, you never or you should. And you can't, like I said, you can't go and you punish the other person for what they've done. And I always tell individuals, use I statements. You know, talking about how I feel. Because when you do that, the individuals become also less defensive. Now, with rebuilding trust, Together, you must set specific goals and realistic timelines for getting your relationship back on track. And you have to recognize that rebuilding trust takes time, and it requires the following. And I'm going to give you some information that it requires. But I was watching a show the other night, and it's about, it was, I want to say it was in Alabama. And these individuals, it's like three couples. And they go into a business relationship together with buying property. And two of the couples was upset with one of the couples because they showed one person found the property and somebody else bought it from a funder because it was a deal. And they felt like, I don't know if I could trust you. And then it reminded me also, I don't know if you guys saw the little cartoon movie, The Secret Lives of Pets, when the dog was trying to find her little boyfriend, and when the when she went and found that hawk, and she let the hawk out, and the hawk promised not to eat her, and the first thing he did was try to eat her, and she said, I don't know if I can trust you. And that's funny because sometimes she said, I don't know if I can trust you, you know, kind of paraphrasing the way she said it, but that was the funniest part of the movie to me because she knew it was a hawk. She knew what he did. She saw the little bones all over the place. But he promised he was not going to do that to her. And the first thing he did was start looking at her like she was a full-course meal. And she was like, I don't know if I can trust you. So when we start talking about rebuilding trust in regards to the time and what it requires is you have to decide to forgive or to be forgiven, meaning make a conscious decision to love by trying to let go of the past while achieving this goal. You must fully make and take some time, and committing to it is the key. You got to be like, no matter what, this is our goal. Even if it hurt, you know what? We can get through this. I won't do this anymore. And if those triggers start coming up or you start, you know, going sideways, you need to let your partner know, I'm struggling with this. And you have to be honest because honesty is very, very important. Ladies, what do you think about deciding to forgive?
I think that it's something that a lot of people struggle with, and whether it's family members or a significant other, but the hardest person, I think, to forgive is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's something big or small, whether you beat yourself up about a bad grade or, you know, you didn't get a promotion, we like to do self-blame. We blame ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if you blame yourself, and like you said, the hardest person to forgive is yourself, why punish yourself for what somebody else did? If you know, and I know that in any relationship, if something fails, it takes two to make the relationship fail. Now, sometimes individuals can be blindsided and thinking that everything was great, so I don't want to minimize that because that happens too. But people always give you signs. You may not want to acknowledge them, or you may not, you know, be like, well, they'll never cheat on me, or this is never going to happen. And as soon as you say never, that's when it happened. Because I know in my marriage, girl, that was the furthest thing from my mind that the little sucker would be out there or have a wife somewhere. But, hell, it happened, and I moved past it, and I'm like, and even if he called today, we're still cordial. But I know your character now. I know the type of person you are. And where I missed it was his father was like that. So that should have been a red flag for me because I knew what his mother had been through and experienced based on what he had shared. And he turned around and did the same exact thing. Now, another one is be open to self-growth and improvement. You can't repair broken trust with just promises and statements of forgiveness. The underlying cause of the betrayal needs to be identified, examined, and worked on by both individuals. You know, a lot of times individuals will say, I'm sorry, or please forgive me, but then sometimes they don't even forget themselves. Or they'll say, I'm sorry, and don't even know what they're sorry about, or don't even have a clue. Ladies, what do you think about that?
I'm driving again, but there's also the what is it, the unsorry, or like, I'm sorry that you feel that I was mean, or I'm sorry that, you know, like with some people, like it's an unapology where they're saying I'm sorry, but they're really not sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, not sorry.
Said I'm sorry, but then turn around and do it again. I'm like, thought you were sorry. You know, I remember son said, sorry don't mean nothing. I'm like, wow.
Right.
Or either sorry means, okay, leave me alone. I said I was sorry. And that don't always work. Amy, what do you think about that? in regards to basically being open to self-growth and improvement. And when you make these statements or to ask to be forgiven, I look at it as action speaks louder than words. You know, do something to work on you. Do something to change you. Let's build a relationship, not just keep telling me, you know, making empty promises.
Yeah, I think that we to forgive ourselves and forgive others, it allows us to have that self-growth, and we're like lifting a weight off of our shoulders. And that if you are able to move forward and have that foundation that you've built together and you're willing to work on it, it just makes it stronger. It's just like you're just adding more layers, and you'll both appreciate it so much more.
And you know, and
some people do this. Some people are dishonest or disloyal in some aspect, you know, to try and sabotage something that's good in their life.
And they need to realize
what they appreciate what they lose.
Got you. And you know what? And sometimes, I mean, that's kind of fear-based. Because sometimes individuals will sabotage your relationship. They will do that. And the next thing to talk about is be aware of your innermost feelings and share your thoughts. Now, leaving one side or one person to obsess about the situation or actions that broke the trust is not going to solve anything. Instead, it's important to openly discuss the details and express all the feelings of anger and hurt. But you don't have to just ruminate over it and keep bringing it up all the time. Because if you do that, you're not moving past it. Even in a work relationship, you don't want to constantly be talking about how the boss did this or I don't trust this or I don't trust that and not willing to let things go, because you also got to have to want it to work. There's no place in the process for lip service or more lies. You have to be honest about your true and true to your wishes, because if you don't want it to work, just tell the person, you know what, I can't do this, or I can't work here, I can't be in this marriage, I can't be in this relationship, it has nothing to do with you, but by that same token, it's time for me to move on. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you can also forgive a person without the person even knowing that you forgave them and move on. Meaning, but that doesn't mean you have to build up these walls and just say, I'll never trust nobody else again, or this will never happen to me again. Because if you do, somebody knows that, they see it, and it's like you walking around with that big old bullseye on your head. Ladies, what do you think about that?
Well, I think also sometimes the person we have to forgive you don't have contact with or has since passed away. And I think a lot of times that's very therapeutic, is having some kind of symbolic, you know, maybe writing them a letter or going where they're at, buried, and talking to them and letting them know that I am forgiving you for all of these things that you've hurt me. This is what I wish would have happened, but it didn't. And I have to let it go because I want to move forward. And I think that's a very therapeutic thing. So a lot of times we say, oh, but he's dead now. But that really doesn't. That doesn't really stop the pain, and it doesn't really stop what happens in the memories and how we've interpreted the memories of, you know, how we've not interpreted, but how our body has interpreted, because a lot of our memories are the cause of a lot of our mental health issues and also our physical. You know, when you carry on that much pain, it does take a physical toll on you, on your on your body.
And you know what, Amalia, and that's very important for people to know, because I know, like myself, I'll be like, okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, and then all this stuff starts happening with my body. I'm like, oh my God, what the heck just happened? Because we interpret things differently, but your body will let you know. Your body will start being stressed out when you start seeing that person, your hair start falling out or your skin start breaking out, you know. So you can say one thing, your mouth will say one thing, but your actions will show something totally, totally different. It'll be totally different. Now, when we talk
I was going to say there's a book by Francine Shapiro, and it's called The Body Keeps a Score, and it talks about all that. I have not read it. It's been sitting in my, you know, my office library for a couple years. it's been my New Year's goal for about 7 years. But but that's what the book is about. It's about how the body keeps the score. And so all these memories that we our brain, you know, our brain filters memories and it stores what it wants to, and then it adds emotions to our memories. And so sometimes our memories we kind of just remember the bad parts of it, and we don't remember the good parts when we're in a bad relationship with someone. So, and that manifests itself. There is a huge that also reminds me of this. There is a long-term study at Kaiser, the one in San Diego, with middle-aged men. Oh, it's the ACEs study. And that's how that's how ACEs came to be, the Adverse Childhood Experience Survey. And so, you know, these were traumas that people who were under 13 had experienced, and they were seeing that as a result of this, they were seeing depression, obesity, high blood pressure, heart attacks. And it was all linked to these adverse childhood experiences that these 60-year-old men had prior to turning 13. And so I think that was one of the big, catapults in psychology is when we realized how important childhood is. Honestly, if I was to be dating again, I wouldn't even ask, like, where do you work? How many brothers and sisters you have? Where do your parents live? I would ask them, did anyone in your family go to jail before you were 13? Did you
really
die
having
an STD before you were 13?
You know what, Amalia? Man, Amalia, preach, girl, preach. We are on the same
those
page
the
when it comes to that. Girl, you know what?
We should be asking.
I totally agree. Not how many times you've been married, but how much trauma you got in your life. Because a lot of individuals, we miss that. And a lot of times we think we can love them into help. But some individuals, you just can't, that don't work with. And that's when you have to know, this person is not the person for me. Because hurt people will hurt other people. So even if you are trusting, even if you are lovable and you got all the love in the world to give, that's fine. Some people, you got to learn how to love from a distance. Because it just ain't going to work, you know. And that's not me being negative. You know, even sometimes when I'm doing therapy, I'm working with people, I have to let them know, you know what, this is going to be a problem. Because you're not really able to handle this. And you can't undo what they mama done did to them, or they daddy done did to them, or what the church has done to them, or what society has done to them. And a lot of times, individuals become yoked or married to individuals, and then they wonder why they have a lot of these issues. Now, I want to say in regards to that, and like I always say, people are not bad people. They just have bad habits. Okay. Now, how do we build trust with someone who hurt you? Here's some information, and it's indicated on Psychology Today, and they offer 4 steps to restore trust and repair damaged relationship. Now, just because it's damaged doesn't mean you got to throw it away. But it can mean that, you know what, sometimes you may have to walk away. Because when you felt betrayed, or, you know, there's been dishonesty, disloyalty, unfaithfulness, or withholding information, because not providing information is just as bad, especially if you know something that's going to be damaging to the relationship later on, that could cause a problem. But there's some steps that they offer, and they indicate that trust is the glue that holds relationships together. It is what allows you to feel safe so that you can be vulnerable enough to emotionally connect with another person. So when relationships first begin, trust is often given early as part of an unspoken code of honor. And people we choose to engage with socially are generally assumed to be trustworthy until proven otherwise. But sometimes when it becomes otherwise, it becomes very detrimental because it brings up old scars. Now, we have to be mindful of that, but below are some steps that I'm going to give you guys in regards to how to forgive and trust again once you've been hurt. Like Amy said earlier, forgive yourself. An important part of forgiveness is the process of forgiving yourself. When trying to understand the situation, we have a tendency, like we said, to generate an explanation for why things happen. Now, I don't have time to sit there and focus on why you did what you did, So we ain't going to be going through all of that. But individuals often blame ourselves. And if I was a better person, or if I would have been less gullible. But you know what? We need to leave that alone, because self-forgiveness requires self-compassion and learning that even with your flaws and vulnerabilities, you have a tremendous self-worth and you deserve to be treated well, because no one deserves to be lied to. And forgive the other person. It is impossible to regain trust without first regaining control of your emotional well-being by finding that inner being, I mean, that basically that emotional well-being by finding your inner peace with the situation. You got to make peace with that, making peace with your past, and trust yourself. It is nearly impossible to trust someone else unless you first trust yourself. A good idea is the fear that people will, well, basically find out. Or, you know, because a lot of times we don't want people to know this happened to us and all of that stuff. And like I said, it's okay to share that information. But once a person knows that you've healed from that, then you're okay. And trust the other person. And the truth about trusting someone else is that the only certainty is that there's no uncertainties, meaning there's always an element of faith in trust that we give to someone else. And like I said, you have to know what you can trust them with. It doesn't mean you got to go back and date them. And I think, Amali and Amy, the hardest part is when it comes to not only in a relationship or marriage, I think that that parental bond is very important too, when that trust has been broken. Because, you know, I remember one time my daughter told me, she said, "Mommy, you don't have daddy issues, you got mommy issues." And I was like, wow, I never looked at it that way. But what happens, ladies, when you can't trust your parents? Mm. Y'all like, oh, we had good parents. Well, you know what? Okay, what I know about you. I'm listening. What you say? I'm on here.
I say, you know, I think as an adult, you have a choice. And, you know, your family is not something that was chosen. You know, you did not choose your family. And so as an adult, you have a choice to cut yourself from toxic people, and that includes your family.
And you know what? I want to apologize to you ladies, because y'all like, look, Janine, my mama's still alive and my daddy. Y'all, you can't be throwing me up under the bus like that. They might be listening to this show. See, I get away with that because my parents are no longer here. So, so one of the things is, if you are a parent and you know that you've done something to hurt your children, whether they were young or they adults, here's some things you want to do. Apologize for your mistake. Meaning, take responsibilities for your action. Your apology should be sincere. A lot of times there are, and it's sad because there are a lot of adults that are not speaking to their parents that are alive. And a lot of parents don't know how to go back and regain or start a relationship with their children. But apologize. An apology, a sincere apology. Meaning by saying that, you know, I apologize if I've hurt you in any way. This is what I've learned. I didn't realize how bad this has hurt you. And I will do my best not to repeat my actions. And if you see me doing something you don't like, please let me know. And that helps, and that goes a long way. Also, you can also write an apology. Sometimes by writing a thoughtful card, an email, a letter, sometimes facing the person, you know, you hurt can be quite hard. And, you know, that's for parents, that's for anybody. Because sometimes people will walk away knowing that they hurt you, because they know that they don't want to keep hurting you. So sometimes just putting it in writing for the person to read later on can also give them a sense of freedom. And talk about the reason behind the mistake, meaning talk about your struggles. Not make excuses. Sometimes we used to say it's not an excuse, it's an explanation. But by that same token, you want to let the person know, you know what, you had nothing to do with this. I could have either felt lonely, which is why I did what I did, or, you know, whatever the case may be, you might want to talk about it. And be specific, meaning when apologizing, please be specific about what you're apologizing for. Nothing pisses a person off even more is to say you're sorry or to be rude or, well, you need to accept my apology. No. You need to be clear in regards to understanding by being specific in regards to what the behaviors were. And don't make excuses. And don't be defensive or casual about the problem. And offer a remedy to fix the situation. A lot of times all individuals want to know is, what can we do to work on this? And be ready to sacrifice. Meaning, you need to make sacrifices if you want to convince someone that you are really apologetic for what you've done. Ladies, any comments in regards to that? And my phone is just ringing off the hook. Any comments?
I think also when you forgive, you don't necessarily always need to, if it's something from an old relationship, just let it go, you know, and be in the present. We tend to dwell in the past or even the future. But it's important to, like, be in the moment.
You know, one of the things, too, that I want to say before, you know, you add to this, Amalia, is if you are the person that have hurt someone, change your behavior. To regain someone's trust, you first have to be consistent. Because they're not going to just trust you overnight because they're used to you doing the same thing. And this is not just with the breakup of a relationship, parent-child relationship. You know, both of us, we all three of us, we also work with individuals that have addictions. And a lot of times their family members don't trust them because they're waiting for them to resort back to their old behaviors, whether it's drinking or using drugs. So when you change your behavior, even if the person is not willing to accept your change because they're afraid, you have to own it and acknowledge it yourself. Meaning, like I said, to regain someone's trust, you need to show them that you have changed. The person, meaning whose trust you broke, will not trust you unless your actions show you're behaving in a trustworthy way by being consistent. Because, like I said, they're always looking for you to go back. And sometimes you got to give that person time. When I say give them time, you got to be patient and give the person who you hurt enough time to think through the things and decide whether to forgive you. Don't force it. Ladies, one of the things that I see a lot of times, is it can go both ways. Sometimes people will use that as a way of manipulating the situation by saying, I need more time. But that don't mean you got to make the person sleep in a doghouse for a whole year. It's like, come on now, you know you're not going to let them back in, so you might as well tell them to move on. Because, like I said, we like to punish individuals. But by giving them time, it does take time to heal, but you have to also make sure you are being true to yourself when it comes to that. And the person will need time and in regards to believe what you say. And if you want to cry, yell, scream, that's fine, but just don't become abusive. Ladies, and sometimes do little cute things. Sometimes, you know, some flowers, make them laugh. Avoid repeating your mistakes and be transparent in whatever you do. It doesn't mean that you have to give them all of your codes and all that other mess, but keep your promises and just don't lie. Ladies, what do you think about some of that? Because lying is a whole other issue.
I think one of the very first, well, I don't think that, one of the very first exercises we did in graduate school, I don't know if you did it too, Amy, was personal values. That was like one of the very, very first things, and I had never heard of that. And it makes so much sense. If we don't know what our personal values are, then we're going to go through life not knowing why we do certain things or accept certain things in our life, and that's because it's kind of like a roadmap. So if I'm adventurous, then, and I know that that's a value of mine, that I like to try new foods, I like to travel, and I am with a partner who that's not their personal value, then that's, you know, a conflict, a sign of conflict. So I think there's a lot of just basic life skills that we're not taught, unfortunately. And I took, for me, it took me to go to graduate school, you know, $130,000 later to just know basic stuff, you know, personal values, basic. And I think also earlier you mentioned I versus you, and you just touched on it real quick, but that's very, 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 very important when it comes to communication within a partnership. You know, I feel this, and what I need is this, and what I like is this, versus why do you always do this? Why are you always not doing this? And maybe that's another topic for another whole another day, but it's a lot easier said than done to just get over it and move on and be in the present time. It does take a lot of work. And I think when I've been in, you know, in sessions with a couple that are going through jealousy or a separation, or, you know, trying to get over things, you always have to remember why you fell in love with that person and those, you know, those initial moments, and always keep in mind. And I actually do have my couple literally write down 5 things that are specific to just the two of you guys. You know, just, I don't know, a dinner somewhere when this happened. And always look at those 5 things, literally. Take it out of your pocket and look at that list when you start getting these feelings of jealousy or betrayal or resentment. Because there is always a good moment, but there's points when all of the bad just overshadows that. And if you're trying to rebuild the trust, you have to go back to why you're actually doing this, you know, for those happy times that you had.
Gotcha. I want to say, too, because I know we're about to run out of time, but I also want to tell individuals is do not discuss your problems with others. Find your professional to connect with, because a lot of times when you take that hurt and pain to your family members, they're going to view that other person differently, even if it's something that's happening at work, at school, You know, you want to have someone that you can confide in that will be honest with you, but not someone that's going to say, come on, let's go do this. Or, come on, I got you. And you wind up in more trouble. So be careful with that. And also, like I said before, don't pressure the person. Learn from your mistakes. This is a growth moment. And individuals have to be teachable or coachable. Amy, you want to say something before we end the show, since this was your topic?
No, I just think to make sure you listen to your, you know, your heart, your gut, you know, you follow what you know is right and find, like, peace within yourself before moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And also, and accept that if it doesn't work out after you've, you know, forgiven a person and the relationship don't work out, that's fine. Just make sure you are at peace. That the two of you have also, you know, and one person may not want to give up the relationship, and that's okay too. But everybody deserves to be happy. And individuals, like I said before, learn from their mistakes. So I want to thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, next Monday, we're going to be talking about the purpose of dating. So ladies, get ready for that topic because someone brought that up to my attention because a lot of times people date for different reasons, so we need to talk about the purpose of dating. Now, tomorrow, which is a Tuesday, and that's when I do the show from the pulpit to the couch, we're going to be talking about listening to God, meaning God is trying to tell you something. For some reason, that song has just been playing in my spirit for the past 2 weeks, so I guess God is trying to tell me something, so I really need to listen to my doggone self. So get ready for the show. It's going to be interesting. If you want us to talk about a particular topic, like I said, you can email me at jabneylmft@gmail.com. And don't be shy if with your comments and any feedback that you have regarding the topics we discussed or what you would like for us to share. Until tomorrow and until next week, thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you got this. Thank you, ladies, for joining me. I appreciate you.
Bye. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.